Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batson with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Wonderful to welcome Kelly Curry, our colleague, senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, former deputy U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, to comment on Myanmar. For many years, Myanmar has been a story that Kelly has guided us through all of its vicissitudes. Right now, Myanmar is not transparent, a closed story, but a tragic, so closed story. Kelly, a very good day to you. We begin in Myanmar with a report in the Washington Post. China's chemical exports are behind a, quote, tsunami of meth flooding Asia. Chinese manufacturers are shipping meth precursor chemicals to warlords in Myanmar, writes the Post, precipitating a drug crisis across Asia Pacific. This is reported by Rebecca Tan out of Thailand. Do you confirm this, Kelly? And is it well known to the U.S. government that this is part of the threat that the president has spoken of when he mentions just fentanyl? Good day to you.
Good day. And it's always a pleasure to be with you, John and Gordon. Yes, this has been a well-known threat for a long time. The relationships between the Chinese precursor manufacturers, the chemical industry of China, which not only lets these folks export mass amounts of industrial chemicals that have no ostensible legitimate use in the countries where they're going, including Mexico and Thailand in the case of this article, but also incentivizes it through export promotion and could easily shut it down, but chooses not to. So that's the China piece. Then in Thailand, they don't have laws to prosecute the precursor chemicals, and they are basically afraid to take on the Chinese over it. And so they're trying to, you know, take down a B-1 bomber with a slingshot, essentially. We provide them with a lot of actionable intelligence. Our Drug Enforcement Agency in Bangkok and globally provides them a lot of actionable intelligence, but they're only able to probably get less than 10% of what is flowing through. And the same with the other countries in Cambodia and Laos. And then Burma is just basically a failed state. This area is under the control where these drugs are manufactured with these precursor materials is under the control of a drug army that has been sanctioned by the United States for decades. We are well aware of the problems with the United Wa State Army, which controls this territory and have sanctioned their leadership, have sanctioned the organization, have tried to work with the Thais and at times the Burmese to bring them under control, and at times with the Chinese who back them. They are very, very closely aligned with the Chinese. A little bit of a cat's paw, not exactly a total. I mean, they have some independence of operation, but, and they have their own agenda, obviously, but they are pretty much, if the Chinese cut off all support to the Wa, they would not last long. So it's a vicious cycle of what goes on there, that if we protest to the Chinese or the UN protests to the Chinese about these precursors coming directly into Burma, they transship them through Thailand or Laos or Cambodia and get them into, you know, other means. So it's and they are well aware of what is going on. The Chinese government is.
Gordon, you have a question for Kelly.
Kelly, from what you said, to just sort of summarize it, you know, we've got a fentanyl problem in the U.S., which is a supply-driven epidemic. And really what's happening is the fentanyl precursors are shipped to either Mexico or Canada, mixed and then brought into the U.S. What you just described with regard to Burma sounds very much like the same thing, the same structure. China's selling precursors, no legitimate use for them. This is for meth instead of phetamine and instead of fentanyl. But it seems to me it's just part of an integrated plan to kill people.
Well, it's been going on, again, for decades. The what they call YABA, which is amphetamines and ice, which is the crystal meth version, has been a scourge of Southeast Asia and the Indo-Pacific in general for decades now. This is not a new problem in that region. And the problem has always been Burma has been at the epicenter of production for these drugs. For decades. And, you know, and basically what happened is, back in the 90s, the Chinese told the producers of these drugs, we will not cut off your supply for chemicals, but you need to make sure that none of the drugs come back into China, because they were having a real problem in Yunnan state with this amphetamine, with truckers and everything. And so they made this deal basically with the law in the 90s to divert the supply of the drugs to other markets. And since then, they've just gone, they've flooded the market all over Asia, and they keep innovating just as they have with fentanyl here in North America. They keep innovating with the methamphetamines. Now, what I think we're going to start seeing, and I think what the article lays out nicely is already happening, is there are already Chinese transnational criminal organizations that are doing money laundering for the drug cartels in the United States. What I think is going to start happening more is you're going to see co-production. You're going to see methods of creating new compounds being transmitted back and forth between these Chinese-backed criminal drug groups in Asia and the Mexican cartels here in North America. And you're going to see more fentanyl production moving to Asia, and more of the fentanyl problem becoming a problem in Asia as it clamps down here in the United States, because China will not cut off these chemical makers because they're a source of revenue. So it's two things. It's the revenue that these chemical industries provide, and it's weakening U.S. backed allies, in this case, Thailand, like really trying to rot out Thai society. That's a bonus. I don't think that's really that wasn't like the grand plan from the beginning, but it's certainly something that is to the benefit of China. They are the only ones who benefit from American allies like Thailand, South Korea, Australia being flooded with these drugs.
Kelly, is it imaginable that this conduct goes on without the permission of the Central Committee in Beijing?
It is not. It is not, John. No.
All right. I want to ask Gordon the same question. Gordon, is it possible that this activity goes on without the Central Committee knowing about it?
Absolutely not, John. Remember, China runs a total surveillance state. Right. It knows what these producers are doing, and some of them are state-owned. We know that every container that leaves China is inspected by Chinese officials. Chinese diplomats give cover to the gangs. Chinese central government gives subsidies for the production of this stuff. The money, as Kelly said, is run through the Chinese state banking system. And by the way, Chinese-owned TikTok promotes illicit drug use. So,
no,
yeah, absolutely not, John.
Kelly, and you say
I mean, there are little, and Rebecca talks about this in the article. There are instruction videos in Chinese that explain how to take the precursor chemicals and mix them into amphetamines. These are on Chinese backed platforms. There's no way they get export subsidies. They get export tax rebates for doing this. This is a Chinese surveillance state, as Gordon points out. They can find a dissident in a haystack anywhere, you know, and the idea that they aren't aware and on some level supportive of this and don't use it and don't titrate it up and down based on, you know, they can shut it down at any time.
Kelly,
and they choose not to.
Kelly Curry of the Atlantic Council, Gordon Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.